Paul accepted by the apostles. Then, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Yet, not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you.
Caroline, thank you very much. Let's have a look at verse 4 again of our passage. Some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we had in Christ Jesus. Beware of spies, says Paul. Beware of false believers, people who look okay, people who may be very friendly, like Melita Norwood, but rather than being real friends of Jesus, wanting to honour him because of his work on the cross, they want something else. Listen to what Paul says these spies want at the end of this verse. Some false believers have infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. Do you know what a slave is? Here's a picture of some slaves. As you see, these people have got horrible big chains tying up their wrists and going round their necks. And that's because somebody is in charge of them. Someone owns them. Someone makes them do things that they don't want to do. They're slaves. They have no freedom. Other people use them for their own selfish purposes. To be a slave is a terrible thing. And Paul says there are people who want to make you and me slaves. Not slaves exactly like that, with chains around our wrists and around our necks, but spiritual slaves. No longer free spiritually, but spiritually captured in prison with someone else completely in charge. Beware of spies, says Paul. It's his first point. There are people who want to make you and me into spiritual slaves. But how do they do that? How do these spies make us into spiritual slaves? Well, we've already seen their first tactic. They can look very ordinary, very normal, like Melita Norwood. But to understand more why they are so deadly, we need to think about running, which is very convenient because many people here did think about running this morning, and some people even did some running. Hands up if you ran in the Sawston Fun Run this morning. Lots of people, fantastic, that's really good. Hands up if you finished the race. Did you all finish the race as well? Again, fantastic, well done if you finished the race. But imagine with me that you didn't, unfortunately you didn't completely finish the race. That'd be very disappointing, wouldn't it? All that effort for no reward, no cheering crowd when you finish the finishing line, no medal around your neck. So much commitment, so much pain endured, and yet no final achievement. It'd been very disappointing. You would have run in vain. Now, in our passage today, Paul tells us that he had also been running. He'd been running really hard, and it had been painful. And now, he's worried. He's worried that he had been running in vain, that his run was worthless, that it would be a failure, been running in vain. Let's read what he says. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Now, to understand this properly, we need to realise what kind of race Paul was running in, because it was a different race from the Sawston Fun Run. Paul's race was more like this race. Have a look at the screen behind me. Does anyone know what this race is? Hands up if you know what this race is. You might have to look quite carefully. Anyone know who's... Levi, do you know what race this is? Yeah, that's right. Anyone know the sort of name? What's it about? Something else? You're quite right about the idea of passing on. Is anyone at the back there? Anybody got any ideas? There's a big competition where all the countries in the world are involved. It's on the edge of your tongue, isn't it? I know, I'm sure. Any of the grown-ups want to help us out? It's the Olympics, isn't it? Do you recognise that's the Olympic torch? So in this race, a fire is lit in a place called Olympia in Greece. That's the top picture. And then it's passed to a runner. And then that runner runs to another person and passes the torch to another person. And that, you can see that in the big picture, the man passing the torch to the lady. And in this race, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of runners that run right across the world to where the next Olympic Games will be held. And then finally, the Olympic cauldron, a big fire, is lit in the Olympic Stadium, and that's when the race finishes. So it's a relay race where something is passed on from one person to another. And Paul's race is like that. It's a relay race. We have to pass on something from one person to another. So what is Paul passing on? Because it's not the Olympic flame, it's something much more important. Well, I have it on good authority that Paul himself will be running past any minute now. Let's look out for him. Ah, oh, you must be Paul.
Yes, that's me.
How are you doing?
Okay, it's been really tough, but by God's strength, I'm ploughing on.
Oh, good.
Just got to keep going.
And Paul, what is that you're carrying?
Oh, this. This is the most important thing. This is what I have to pass on. This is what I have to keep safe.
So what is it?
This is the most important... This is... this is the truth of the gospel. This is the good news about Jesus that saves people. It's so important. Sorry, I'd have to pass it on.
Okay.
Oh, God. Oh.
Paul, are you okay?
Yes, I'm okay, but I am worried.
Worried? What? Why is that?
Because there are spies. There are people that are trying to grab that message, that precious truth of the gospel, and change it or destroy it.
That sounds serious.
Yes, it is. The message of salvation must not be changed.
One of those Christians with the message of salvation.
Yeah, that's right, that's me.
I bet you feel amazing. I bet you just feel God's love every single day.
Well, I mean, if I'm honest, not maybe every day. Not all the time.
Oh.
I do, but not all the time.
I think God wants us, you know, I'm sure if you're a Christian, he wants us to feel and be aware and experience his love every day. I mean, are you reading your Bible and praying every day?
Every single day? Most days, but I wouldn't say every day.
Oh, well, fasting. What about fasting? When did you last fast?
No, that's rare.
I see. Yes. I think I can see what the problem is, actually. Okay. Yes, yeah. I think there's a problem because... if you love God, if you have the salvation, he wants you to experience that all the time. And to do that, we really need to take seriously, we need to keep in step with the Spirit. Okay. We need to work to keep in step with the Spirit, right, by taking seriously Bible reading, yeah, prayer and fasting.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think I need to work much, much harder then.
Yes, that's right. I think you do. But remember that God loves to reward those who try hard and work hard. Okay. Do you remember Jesus said, seek and you will find. Ask and it will be given to you.
Okay.
But you do need to ask.
Yeah.
I don't think you've been asking enough. I think you need to ask a lot more often.
Okay.
It sounds to me that then you'll find that feeling that you get all the time. I tell you what, I'll run along beside you and we can do it together.
That's really great, thank you.
So I'm gonna fast tomorrow.
Right.
And you can fast with me. Don't tell other people, because Jesus did say we should keep that to ourselves.
Okay, right.
But you can fast with me and we can meet and pray together every day.
Okay.
And then maybe you will feel that experience of God's salvation every day like I do.
Okay, great, thank you. Let's do it.
There's one other thing. This message, this salvation message that you've got to pass on, it's not quite right. I mean, it's good, it's great, it's great. But it's not got everything you need. I think you're going to need to add a bit extra stuff to that to really make it work. You can have my gospel if you like.
Oh, thanks. Okay. Thank you. Lovely. That's great. Let's go. And I guess I don't really need this one then.
We'll go this way now. This way.
Cool.
Did you see what happened? Paul had run really well, hadn't he? Paul had done his bit and he'd passed on the true message of salvation to the next runner. That true news, that good news that only Jesus' death is necessary to put us in the right relationship with God. And then a spy came in and changed the message. And did you see what happened to the message? It wasn't just changed. It was completely lost. And that same danger is our danger today. The message, the saving message of Jesus' death for us can be lost. So what we're going to do now is sing a song that helps us, that asks God to help us to not lose the saving message of the cross. So let's stand and sing together. Okay, before our song, we saw that Paul was worried. Do you remember that? Paul was worried. He was worried about the truth of the gospel, this incredibly important message that Jesus' death alone on the cross is sufficient, is good enough for us to have the right relationship with God. And that message was in danger. And it was in danger because of these spies, these people who wanted to make us into slaves, these people who were changing the message. So what did Paul do? He did whatever we should do. If ever we have any concerns about anything that we've been taught or that we've read or that we've listened to, Paul did what we should do. Let's think about what that is. We've had beware of spies. Now we have check it out. Check it out. So if we hear something, a bit of teaching we're not so sure about, what should we do?
Check
it out. A bit louder? Check it out. Okay, so the big question is, how do we check it out? Well, again, we can learn from Paul. Because Paul went to the apostles in Jerusalem and ask them some questions. Let's listen to verses 1 to 4. Then after 14 years, I went again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus with me also. I went in response to a revelation, meeting with those esteemed as leaders, that's the apostles, I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. Paul, remember, was worried, so Paul checked it out. And the way in which he did that was to go to the apostles. Here's a question for you today. How today can we go to the apostles? You got any ideas on how today we can go to the apostles? Yes. Very good. Why is that the right answer? You're absolutely right. Why is that the right answer? Who wrote the New Testament? The apostles, yes? So people like Matthew and Mark and Luke and John All the books of the New Testament were written by the apostles or someone incredibly close to them where the apostle could check. And so for us to check it out, we need to go to the apostles, to go to the Bible, to check out the teaching against the Bible. So, if you're struggling with how to do that, you can always go to your parent or to a leader, someone who knows the Bible really well. But obviously, if we know our Bibles better, then we can also check it out well. So to check it out, we need to go to the Bible. So let's remind ourselves of the two things that we've learnt so far today. Beware of spies and check it out. That is, check out any teaching we're uncertain about by going to the apostles, by going to the teaching of the Bible. And if their teaching doesn't agree with the Bible, it's the teaching of a spy. So what should we do then? If we've come across a teaching of a spy, well, that's Paul's third point. Don't give in. Don't give in. These spies want to add something to what Jesus has done on the cross. They say that we need something else to be saved. They say that we need something else to be fully accepted by God. They say that we need something else to fully experience the blessing of God. And we might be tempted to listen to them. We might want to be friends with them, and so tempted to give a bit, to compromise, just so that we can be friends. But Paul says, verse 5, we did not give in to them for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. Paul did not give in, not even for a tiny moment. He did not change the message. He stayed firm. He didn't give in for a moment, and neither should we. Because when the truth of the gospel is changed, it is no longer the gospel, and it cannot save, and it becomes useless. Only with the truth of the gospel being passed on, as it is, can it effectively save. In fact, it is worse than useless when this thing happens, because something terrible happens. You see, before we became Christians, the Bible describes us as being slaves, spiritual slaves to sin. You'll see that in the picture behind you. We've got the picture? I'll just wait for the picture. Are we getting on? There we go. So the Bible describes us, before we become Christians, as spiritual slaves to sin. Jesus himself said, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. That is what life is like before we become Christians. Spiritual slavery. Sin is this big bully. Until we become Christians, sin has control over our lives. Sin has authority over our lives. And we could not escape. We were tied up like a slave and had to do what sin wanted. And because we obeyed sin, we deserved to die. But then Jesus came. Then there was the truth of the gospel. Jesus died on the cross to pay the punishment, the price for our sins, so that we could be free. He paid it all, so there was nothing left. He freed us completely. Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That is what it is to be a Christian. It is to be freed from slavery to sin. But now, says Paul, there are spies. There are people who want to make you slaves again. There are false believers who are trying to make you a slave again. And these false believers don't like the fact that Christians are free. And so they want to make us slaves again. Slaves to rules. Slaves to things that we have to do. Slaves to other things But why would you want to do that, says Paul? You've been freed. Jesus has given you freedom from slavery. Why would you want to return to it? Don't lose your freedom. Don't give in for a moment. Not even for a moment. Beware of spies. Check it out. Check it out against the teaching of the apostles, against the teaching of the Bible. And don't give in. Not even for a moment. Jesus has bought us freedom. Let's rejoice in that freedom that he bought on the cross. And let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you and praise you so much that you bought our freedom at the cross. Though we were once slaves to sin, doing what our sinful nature wanted us to do, you graciously gave your life for us that we might be free, and free indeed. Please would you burn that truth deeply into us, that we rejoice in that freedom and never even think for a moment of returning to the slavery that is there if we do reject your gospel. Please keep us clinging to the cross, we pray, the cross alone that saves us. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, as is our tradition at Christchurch South Campus, a really good thing this, I think, actually, for being careful of spies, is to be able to ask questions of the speaker. So this is your opportunity now, if you have any questions, to ask me about the passage. You're very welcome. We've got a question from Fiona. So the question that Fiona's asked is, why are they called a spy? I guess it's a question for Paul the Apostle, because he calls them spies. So it's actually straight out of verse 4. People spying among us, infiltrated our ranks, he says. They sort of come among us to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. There are some people who do not like the message of the cross. They do not like the fact that we can do nothing by ourselves to earn any favour with God. And people like that, unfortunately, they don't like our freedom. They're spies. Yes, question over here. Fantastic. Albie, couldn't see you behind Toby. Hi, Albie. How can you tell if someone's a spy? That is a really good question. And one of the things that we did learn is you can't tell by just looking at them or asking, are they friendly or are they kind? The key thing is to listen to what they say, listen to what they're teaching, and then ask the Bible whether that's the same as the Bible teaches. A spy will have to teach something different from the Bible. So where someone says something different from the Bible, that's when we need to be careful. Ask the Bible, ask our parents, ask church leaders. That's the key thing, how we tell the spies. Check them out. Finod. Yes, we heard that a couple of weeks ago. Tim showed us a fantastic picture of a wolf with a kind of sheepskin over the top looking. It's the same idea. You can't really tell by what they look like. You have to listen to their noise, their bark, if you like, what they say. Absolutely, yeah. We're warned about this all over the Bible, actually. It's not just that. Yes, Laurent. That's a very good and very difficult question. How do we respond to some leadership in the church who's not teaching the truth of the gospel? I think that's a really hard thing. I think it's very important to treat leaders with a great deal of respect. I think it's always really important to give someone the benefit of the doubt. We might have misunderstood them. So I think first thing to do would be to check with them one-to-one. What exactly did you mean by this? Ask them a few questions. And just make sure we've understood them properly, because they may actually be fine. It may be the problem might be with us. If they are nevertheless teaching something that's different, then again, ask some other people who you trust about the same issue. Maybe you've got it wrong and they've got it right. But if it comes to the stage where that is the case, then I think I would prayerfully seek to go with some other people in the church who are also that to the leader and see if they could talk it through a bit more. Ultimately, it may mean that you need to leave the church. But it's a really, really difficult question, that one. I think it needs to be dealt with on a case-by-case basis. Any other questions? He's certainly given me a good grilling, which is a good sign. That's good. Make sure I'm not a spy. Great. Great. We're going to have some prayers now.